Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, show us more about the kingdom of heaven. These mysteries that you have given us, that your kingdom would come. I'm sorry that I was so fast yesterday and did so and spoke so much. It's I'll give some time to you. So let's make it shorter today. A mustard seed is small. But it's pretty spicy. What the Lord shows in these two parables really has to deal with a development of the kingdom of heaven. In both of these parables, firstly about the mustard seed, he says that it was sown into the field, and it's smaller than at the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. This was very surprising to botanists. I read an article, and the title was, "Does the Bible have the wrong is talking about the wrong plant?" In Genesis 1, when we see that God restored everything in verse 11, he said, "Then God, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind." So there are three kinds of plants: the grass, the herb, and the trees. And the mustard seed belongs to herbs. But here, there is a mutation, a jump that there actually doesn't exist. In Genesis, it says God made these three groups, but in Matthew 13, suddenly, it says that it is an herb, but then all of a sudden it becomes a tree. And the Lord really wants to reveal something here that the enemy has done in order to corrupt the kingdom of God. The church, at the beginning in Acts, really had a wonderful characteristic that they were pure, it was holy, it was about faith. The mustard seed is a symbol of faith. Fellowship of the saints at that time was not it was not based on tradition or made from an organization, but it was a living faith. Praise the Lord. It is about this living faith today with us. We really want us and everyone who is coming here to have such a living faith mustard seed. The Lord said it's not just, you shouldn't just believe that the scripture is true, but if you have faith, you can take this tree and that it would be thrown mountain, and that it would be thrown into the sea, cast into the sea. Since it's all about the kingdom of heaven, it's a battle. The enemy is not going to leave us alone. And this situation is actually very good for us. It really helps us to experience this faith. It's amazing how these mountains, real mountains that you can't, just move through your own strength, but through this living faith, these mountains were uprooted and thrown, cast into the sea. This was a great joy. So praise the Lord. In the church, we have faith like a mustard seed that can move the mountains. The Lord has given us a precious faith. The enemy really has a problem with such a faith. And that's why he brought a development into the church that is not from God. And the church became all of a sudden great and powerful. In Daniel, also about the kingdom of Babylon, this kingdom is, God compares this kingdom with a tree. And he says to the about this tree, it is a tree that in this tree, Daniel 4:19 says, verse 20, the tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all earth. And in 18, before that, it says that the birds will nest in this tree. The church in this world should not be like the rich people of this world, the kingdoms of this world. God compares these nations to a tree whose height reached to the heavens. Also in the Tower of Babel, they had the same goal. In Genesis 11, in verse 4, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. That's not so good. Let us make a name for ourselves. Oh Lord, that is Babylon. And this is the development of the kingdom of heaven. After the church was really persecuted in the first 300 years, we see this in the letters to the churches, especially in Smyrna. The church under the Roman emperors were so persecuted. It was an organized extermination of the church. Much blood had been shed at that time, or was shed at that time. It was a persecuted church. And you can even say that everything changed even overnight, as the church, as Constantine recognized the church as a state religion, and everything was Christianized. Every emperor, every Roman emperor was a Christian, and this doesn't work. And the emperor was the one who was the leader of the believers. The first council of Constantine, where the bishops could not unite themselves, then at that time the church really became a tree, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was no longer a small herb with a sharp and spicy faith, but it really became into a strong tree. And this is the tree that the Lord is mentioning in Matthew 13. And that it became even bigger. Many things came in. It says that the birds of the air came and nested in its branches. Most people think that this is a very positive, speaking about a very positive development. The church became so big, and then even the birds came. Wow. It's strange, actually, because in Matthew 13 there are no positive birds. The birds that are being seen here are compared with the devil in Matthew 13. How can it be all of the sudden positive when the birds come and nest in the branches? The Lord definitely didn't mean anything positive here. We see this in the next parable where he speaks about the leaven. Leaven in the entire Bible has absolutely no positive context. There is no positive verse about leaven. The Lord says, woe and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul said to Corinth, purge out the old leaven. The church and leaven is not a positive relationship. Even when there is leaven, like in the Feast of Weeks, the two loaves that are of leaven, these are wave offerings, and these show that the church always has leaven in it because we are fallen people, and the church consists of people. So today we hear often, when we want to be the testimony, the witness of this kingdom of heaven of the Lord, we are not perfect. But should it? Are we perfect yet? Oh God, I know very well from myself, and my wife knows it very well as well. We are absolutely not perfect. The question is not, though, is the church perfect? The question is, how does the church deal with leaven? When leaven or birds or a mutation of from herb to tree wants to come into the church, then the deciding question, or the deciding factor, is what does the church do with this situation? We see here in Babylon, and this is what this word describes. It describes something that the faith became, or developed into something that God doesn't want. Babylon started with the building of the Tower of Babel. Babel. In Revelation 18:2, there are two chapters in the book of Revelation that are about Babylon. And it says that it will stay until the Lord comes. It will, just like the weeds, the tares that Clemens just spoke about, these won't be, they will remain until the Lord comes. When if we had the choice, we would take away all the tares so that no one would have this intoxication. But God does not do these things this way. But the Lord really writes this thing that there's
parables in a way that it is already a little bit confusing.
The Lord always speaks these parables that you really have to seek. It's a little confusing. So in itself, it's a little bit confusing for us. Second, he says that the kingdom is like a leaven. But before, he says the kingdom is like a great tree. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why do you speak like this? But it shows that the...
It's going to show you how the kingdom...
All right. It's not that he says that the kingdom will develop in a wrong way. But... The Lord didn't do this. I did this. Oh Lord.
The Lord's not so explicit.
Oh, right. He's saying that the Lord is not so explicit. The kingdom of heaven is always something that's a little hidden, that's hidden. So the Lord will only really show us this when we really seek after these things. Today there are so many believers in this world, millions. And unfortunately, and you see, very often among us believers, this seeking that it's very seldom that you see this seeking into God's word and what He means, what He wants. Sometimes I meet other believers and I would like to have fellowship. And you can really experience that sometimes it's really not that easy. Because the enemy is working against God's people. He's the one who is standing behind this. And the Lord speaks these parables for those who really seek, where is your, and ask God, where is your church and what is your church? So we live in such a time that confusion is so prevalent as it never was before. So I spoke one time, what Thomas said about preaching the gospel on the university, the unbelievers that we speak to, they're confused. They stand there and say, okay, aren't you guys doing the same thing? What's the difference? They are already confused. And among us believers, how much confusion is there today? And in Stuttgart, in the last 4 years, as this confusion really came to breaking point, 10 years ago it might have been pretty clear, but now it's a huge confusion. Everyone says, well, I'm the church, and we're the church at this place, and at that place we're the church, but what can you do? The enemy has really done this thing. It's not a situation that the Lord hindered. Would it not have been better had the Lord stopped this development? The Lord doesn't want to stop this. The Lord wants us to be those who are seeking. The Lord wants us to be those who ask for who seek the truth, that we ask the Lord. Where the Lord has really still has this this mustard seed, even though everything is leavened. No person can answer this question for you. You have to ask God. So the Lord is the only one who can show you that this is the place where His true testimony is. And we have to be ready to say to the Lord, Lord, it may cost whatever, but I want to be where this testimony is. We see that this mustard seed became a tree. There's Christianity. There's so many branches, so many groups, uncountable. And there are always more. And how is a believer who wants to really stand for the Lord's truth, the Lord really has to show us. The Lord also uses the scriptures to show us this, of course. And then when the Lord speaks about Babylon, it's not important, but we really need to understand today, what is it really about? There are many discussions about what is going on in these two chapters. Maybe some think it's a new world religion that is coming. Is it really this? Because the Lord shows us something different. actually Matthew 13 and the book of Revelation goes together very well. So this tree, it also has to do with the church of in Pergamos. It stands for this elevation or marriage with the world, right? So it has two meanings, elevation and marriage. And this is something that the enemy brought. First, it was married to the world, was persecuted, and then elevated. And then it became a branch of the Roman Empire. It's the Roman Catholic Church. It's not just the Catholic Church, it's the Roman Catholic Church. And this is really a tree. A Roman tree. This is really powerful. 1.3 billion members. There is not a larger organization in this world than the Roman Catholic Church. There are so many branches. So there's the Pope, and there's cardinals and bishops, and believe me, there are many, many. Yeah. So let's read the verse. Revelation 18:2. This is the chapter about the judgment of Babylon. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It says Babylon the great. If it's great, then it is not the Lord anymore. The Lord humbled himself from great to nothing. And the church at the beginning was nothing, but here we see that it is great. It's even a title, Babylon the Great. Oh Lord, when we really seek the truth, we should not seek the largest, greatest group. Great is not a measure of truth. And it says it has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage. Babylon is also a cage, an imprisonment for every unclean and hated bird. So we see birds here again. So it shows that in this church today, it is full of demons. And in Christianity, what is fallen, it's not just people. There are demons that are working. You can't even believe it. We think, well, every believer has the Holy Spirit. How can they be of a demon? But Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, he speaks of the things that, from verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, 1, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. They will depart from this mustard seed, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Believers will give heed to doctrines of demons? Do we believe that? It is written, speaking lies in hypocrisy. So these are the tares again. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So this shows when my conscience is not working properly, is not in order, then I can't judge the other one either. Only when I really pay attention to my conscience can I see the truth. They forbid to marry. It's celibacy. Celibacy, this means that this is a doctrine of demons. That's what the word says. And commanding to abstain from foods. There are groups, not only the Catholic Church, also the Adventists are full of this. Many Christians have this movement to go to abstain from these foods. But it says in the scripture, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So that means if we know the truth and we believe, we should not come back into this prison, captivity of Babylon. So today, there's another doctrine of demons, this gospel of prosperity, or prosperity gospel. There's a lot of people that preach this in poor countries, and when they preach this, they become very rich, fly on jets around the world, and those who hear them give them their last cent. Is this not a demonic? Is the Lord like this? He said, "Blessed are the poor. Woe to the rich." But today, Christianity is full of this. Christianity has become a commercialized, and these preachers, they'll say they're millionaires. They have so much in the world, earthly riches, and many claim this. That this is this tree. These are these birds and nest in the branches. That means they also they nest. They have offspring. They have eggs. These eggs are also in Isaiah, vipers' eggs. This shows that today this kingdom of heaven is it's not such an easy thing. It's not just about us also who sit here. It's about the entirety of the people of God. It doesn't mean that we're just for ourselves, we're just for our personal experience, but we are here really to spread the word of the kingdom of heaven in the entirety of the people of God, that the people of God would be saved. And when we read this, we should really have this wish, Lord, save your people. The Lord shows us this so that his people would be saved from this captivity, from this imprisonment of Babylon. So this Babylon has a great mother who is a harlot. The Catholic Church. In verse 5 of 8, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And then it has another. The Lord says in Matthew that this leaven is something that a woman took. Here comes this woman. Three measures of leaven. So there are two women in the Bible, this harlot Babylon, and then there is the bride of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem. And this Babylon has so many daughters. And the daughters are, of course, similar to the mother. In Catholicism, there is this Pope. In Christianity, there is a system of a pastoral system. There is this dependency that is required of the believers on man, on people. The Lord calls this teaching of the Nicolaitans, the clerus laity system, the pastoral system. It says in the word that those who are overseers should teach the others, so equip them so that they can also do the will of God. So this pastoral system that we see everywhere, this leads God's folk into such a condition that they hear these teachers, these pastors, even decades, years, but they themselves will not become those who can teach others. And with this, God's people stays in a condition of being children. So there's also this Christian therapists that they that the Christian should ask this Christian therapist, who should I marry? What kind of career should I have? What kind of car even should I buy? About spiritual things, yeah, of course, but this is such a dependency. How can you find the truth? How can I really know the anointing that is in me? This is from the enemy, that no one comes to the knowledge of the truth. We really have to pray for God's people, that they are freed from such a dependency on men. This is a leaven. Leaven of the Nicolaitans. And everything is supposedly based on the scripture in Ephesians 4. I just want to read this quickly, because they always use the verse Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. There are these things, yes. But then in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Praise the Lord. I hope that this is a time of equipping, so that we can teach others, that they also see and that they also would be freed. We do not hear this word or listen to this word for ourselves, but we listen to it so that we may teach others, that they may also come into the work of the Lord. That we would all come be equipped for the work of the ministry. So praise the Lord. The Lord wants to free his people from Babylon. And Babylon, we also wrote it that this is the Roman Catholic Church and all of her abominations in D2. So these abominations, I'm sorry, D3A, the Catholic Church with all her abominations. And we see what is all coming out today about what they do with children, the abominations. And now someone showed me the audience hall of the Pope, and we see that it looks like the head of a snake, and in the mouth of this snake, inside of this audience hall, it's a horrible thing. We cannot say that it's harmless, that it's so holy, this is terrible. The scripture says the abomination of the earth. This is really true. And the many these daughters, these state churches, denominations, free churches, there are many movements that are going on. It's not that there aren't any believers, but that these believers are being misled. It looks very similar, but it's not the Lord who built this thing. It's the enemy who has brought all of this leaven into this church, into the church. It's corrupted. And we really seek for the truth and want to go in the way of the Lord. The Lord must really open our eyes. It's astonishing to see in the book of Revelation when John sees this harlot, John says, the Lord brought me in the spirit. How you can't say that in Babylon there's not praise, they're not reading the scripture, and they're not praying, but the question is, who is building there? Is it God or is people? And it's people. Oh Lord, we really have to see the truth in the Lord. And the Lord, but praise the Lord gives a solution for this condition. The Lord says, "Come out of her, my people," in Revelation 18:4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people.'" God's people is really in captivity. He says, "Lest you share in her sins." If you only stay in it, you have a share in her sins. It says, "Unless you receive of her plagues." This we don't want to see God's folk be plagued. God really awakened my heart recently to pray for the Lord's people. To pray, "Lord, I don't want to see that they receive these plagues. Save your people. These are our brothers and sisters, fellow saints. We really need to pray for them." That because God will judge Babylon and everyone who is inside of her. So God said we really need to follow the Lamb in Revelation 14. There's this verse. The first fruits, these are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes in verse 4. And it says that this Lamb in verse 1, he stood on Mount Zion. A lamb was standing on Mount Zion. So where does, what does the Lord want to, where does the Lamb lead us to today? It's Mount Zion. You don't have to be hopeless as a believer today. God will always build Zion and lead us to Zion. So the Lord really has such a burden for this word that we intercede, that we pray for his people, that they all come to Mount Zion and that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Praise the Lord. May the Lord really bring us to Zion, to the goal. Not that we in any way become this tree or a leavened lump. We have to be watchful that the Lord brings us to the goal. Amen.